welcome to the 384th edition of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my co-host, the beautiful and talented Mary Ellen Nugent Lee.
Oh, we know you can't travel yet, but also know that things will change, hopefully sooner than later. In the meantime, we're continuing this weekly show so that a half hour of armchair travel will take you back to the good old days and help you understand that they will come back soon.
And tonight, our guest for Armchair Travel is Iris Mitlin-Lau, author of A Wife in Bangkok. Welcome, Iris, to Travel Itch Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Well, this book of yours is a tale of a woman who dropped everything for a journey across the globe in the 1970s. When Crystal's husband's job relocates her family to Thailand, she finds betrayal and isolation among the beauty and has to decide what her values are and which parts of her relationship are worth saving. So our first question, Iris, is how much of your novel was inspired by your own expat journey?
Well, if I hadn't lived in Thailand, I couldn't write this particular book with its very deep descriptions of the country and what it's like there. But on the other hand, all the characters and what happens to them are fiction. My own experience when we moved there in the 1970s with my family, with my husband and children, was very happy. We had a wonderful time. But Crystal has somewhat more trouble than I did there. She's a very different kind of person than I am, and very, and her husband was a very different kind of person than my husband, and so forth. So, yes, it was inspired by the fact that I lived in Thailand, but it's not a memoir in any sense.
Well, that's good. Did you conduct additional research to write the story that takes place in another country?
Well, I had saved a bunch of things from when we lived there. I'm a little bit of a pack rat since it was 40 years ago. But I had maps and I had things about places in the country we visited, and I had my Thai language course books. And so I used some of that. And, of course, nowadays there's the Internet, and I could check on many things to make sure I remembered them correctly. Although, again, it's harder to find things from back when, before there was the Internet. And I also consulted with a Thai friend who I first met when we lived in Bangkok and who we've been friends with all this time. And so she helped me remember some things as well.
Why did you choose to place the book in the 70s?
Well, that's a very interesting time in Southeast Asia. The Vietnam War had literally just ended when we got there, and also in the case in the book is a similar time. Oil and gas had just been found in the Gulf of Thailand, which brought a number of energy companies in. And also it was a time after 25 years of sort of military martial rule dictatorship that there was a new democratic government that had just been elected, and that brought a lot of people, Thais who were outside of Thailand, back to the country. And so it was just it was the time we were there, but it was also a very interesting transition time for Thailand in the 70s. The democratic government didn't last very long. There was a coup d'etat while we were there, but that ended
that.
but you know, it survived almost 2 years or a year and a half or something like that. But that Thailand is given to that. It's had many, many coups, and every time they get a little bit of democracy, the military comes in and takes over. But that's another story that has not much to do with the book.
So what's so special about that time period for you?
Well, it was, for me personally, when we went there, I went with my husband and our four-year-old, and our second child was born there very shortly, a couple of months after we got there, actually. And so for me, it was an interesting time period. It was like my protagonist, Crystal. I initially was sort of, wait a minute, I've always worked, and I have a career, too. How do I get a job here? But it turned out I was not able, for a lot of different reasons, to get a work visa, and so they were pretty sticky about that. So, which is just as well, because I wouldn't have been able to enjoy myself nearly as much if I had had a job. I wouldn't have been able to do as much traveling all over the country and making friends and so forth.
Oh. We're speaking with Iris Mittlin-Lobb, author of A Wife in Bangkok.
Iris, your book focuses a lot on Crystal's wanting to be a good wife and taking care of her family. How do you think this might be different if this story were placed in our current time period?
Yeah, that's really a good question. So a lot of things would be different in this if it were today. Crystal, but people still follow their spouses overseas. It happens all the time. On my book launch last week, I had a woman that helping me actually emceeing. It was a woman who just a couple of years ago went with her husband and children to Brazil, and had related to a lot of what was in the story. It's being an expatriate is difficult for everybody, and it's that being an expatriate spouse is particularly different. Now, Crystal, speculates what would have happened if she had just told her husband to go and stayed back in Oklahoma, in Pico City, Oklahoma, with her children. And that is something that might be more common to be done today, given the various communications and availability and so forth. But it still is the case that particularly women follow their husbands when they move. It still happens all the time. And,
issues are present? What would you say? I mean, what different issues are present?
So we have communications today. When we in the 1970s, you communicated either by writing a letter or sending a cable, which was like a telegram. That was it. The phone system didn't work very well in Thailand, in Bangkok, or anywhere in Thailand, and it was before there were cell phones. And, of course, there was no internet. And so it is possible to be more in touch with home and with other people around the world, and be on social media and whatever nowadays. It's not clear that would have helped, how much that would have helped Crystal's loneliness. There's a recent study which shows that expatriates today are 2.5 times more likely to experience a depression and have other stress-related problems than people who stay back and work in the United States. Loneliness is a serious problem in the United States, let alone for expatriates. Before coronavirus, there was a government study which showed 1 in 5 Americans were experiencing fairly severe loneliness.
Wow. Do you think readers will be inspired by Crystal's journey?
I think they will, because in the end, without giving away too much about what happens, I want people to read it, she overcomes so much. She figures it out. She has all these problems and all these difficult and scary and unpleasant things happen to her, but she overcomes them, and she really figures out how to make a life there.
What would you like our readers to have as the main takeaway?
Well, I think it is, I would say, two kinds of takeaway. One relates to what I just said, resilience, and which is so important today. And, I mean, I think that came out even given that it was published during the coronavirus and so forth. I think that strikes me even more today than when over the 4 years I was writing the novel. And so that people can be resilient, and they can manage, and they can figure things out. But sometimes they need some outside help, and that's okay too, as Crystal did. And the other main takeaway is just how gorgeous Thailand is, and how interesting it is, and what a wonder! It's really a very exciting and interesting and beautiful place.
We're speaking with Iris Mittlin-Lav, author of the new book, A Wife in Bangkok.
Okay, Iris, here comes a whole bunch of questions at once. Tell us more about your heroine. Did she give up a job? Did she leave her friends and family in the States willingly? And most importantly, were kids involved? And if so, what were their ages and their reactions to moving to the other side of the world?
Okay, yeah. So Crystal was kind of a fragile person, but she had a kind of, and her parents died when she was a teenager in a car crash. But there was this person who was her father's friend who ran the radio station in their town. And he kind of took over as her mentor or substitute father. And he encouraged her to major in journalism, and she worked at the radio station. And she loved her job. She thought it was a great job. She got to know everything going on in town, and her boss, Joe, was really nice to her. And so she was not happy about giving up that job to move. And similarly, she had friends she'd known pretty much all her life. She had her sister, and she had a church in which she was active in Pico City. So she was not really very happy about leaving all of that either. And she tried to tell her husband, but he wasn't really listening. He just said, "Oh, it'll be great. It'll be great. You'll like it." And they had two children, a boy 8 and a girl 10. And kids are very adaptable. You know, they went to the international school there, which teaches all the expatriate children by and large, still there, and they made friends, and they had they thought it was great, and they were able to they had a driver that Brian's, the husband's company, provided to them a car and a driver, and so they could just ask to be taken to their friends' houses or be picked up or whatever. And they liked it.
Okay. Since this is a travel show, Iris, tell us a little about Thailand. What did you like? What did you not like? And we'd especially like to know about being a white American woman in a male-dominated Asian culture.
Okay, so what I didn't like initially, as I mentioned, was that I couldn't work, but then I got over that. There's so much to like. The food is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And prior to moving there, about 3 years before, in 1972, we had visited Thailand, and there was also, it was a time when Thai restaurants were popping up in the United States, and there was one around the corner from us. So, it wasn't a shock, the spice to this day, we and our children love Thai food. We had 5 servants that I had to manage.
Wow.
Because there were no appliances, basically. That you had the refrigerator and electricity worked so-so. Someone had to shop for food every day. There was only, you know, the stove used bottled gas, and there were no washing machines, no dishwashers. The laundry was done in a plastic tub with someone, squatting over it every day. And so, you know, we had a cook and who did the shopping and things like that. We had someone who cleaned the house. We had someone who did the laundry because it's so hot, you change like clothes three times a day. So, and you don't want to let it build up, it'll mold. The heat is pretty amazing there. And then we had a gardener because we had a house, and so the jungle encroaches if you don't actually take care of the garden. And then we had a driver. So, that's a good and a bad. I mean, I didn't have to do any housework, which I don't like at all. But on the other hand, these are people and they have their own issues and their own problems, and it wasn't that different than managing my staff at work. So,
did you have any difficulty with the language or money?
No, I like languages, and as soon as we got there, I enrolled in a Thai language course. There's an institution there called American University Association, which teaches English to Thais mostly, but it also teaches Thais to English speakers, Thai language to English speakers. And I took a 15-week course, 5 days a week for half the day, and I ended up speaking quite well. Just speaking, not reading and writing, which is a little more difficult. It was an oral method with language labs and stuff. Money, it was at the time that exchange rate was pretty easy. There were 20 baht to the dollar, so it was easy to remember. we travel a lot, so I'm used to different currencies. But the main problem we had, the first 6 months there, we had some health problems. Partially the birth of our second son didn't go that well. And then just a lot of things about getting used to the germs there. So much so that at the end of 6 months, we invited some of our Thai friends to dinner, and they didn't know why. Is it their anniversary? What is it? They were trying to figure it out. And it was just that we had gone a whole month without anyone going to the doctor. So we thought that was worth celebrating. and that's something, if people are traveling, not living there, but traveling, they need to be careful, I would think. I don't know if it's changed. That has changed so much. We were kind of lucky because we knew some Thai people in Washington, D.C., where we lived, and because that's the kind of place Washington is, and they were people who went back at the time, around the time we moved there, for this new democratic government to participate in it in one way or another. So we didn't live only within the expat community, but many people who are expatriates in Thailand do live only within the expat community. That was really an advantage, and it made us like the things more. Let me go back for a second, if I might, to this. It's not, being a white American woman is one, Americans, there were a certain number of Thais who were kind of annoyed with Americans about the Vietnam War and everything, and they weren't too nice about it. But most people in Thailand liked Americans fine. There were other kinds of people they didn't like so well, but they liked Americans. And it's not as male-dominated as a place like Japan, for example. So there were a lot of professional Thai women who had important jobs, professors at the university or worked in banking. These are things our friends did. There was someone whose family owned a business that she ran. So they were a little more not gender stuck. It was women, if they had a were educated or had an important position, that was fine. And in fact, at the time, the queen, there was a king, but his wife, the queen, actually was quite well known and a very nice role model for a lot of women. So that was sort of interesting how well women actually did participate in the business and culture of the country.
What about local customs? Do you have any that kind of stand out?
Well, you know, the official religion of Thailand is Buddhism, mm-hmm. and so there are a lot of things that were different from our experience about that. They take it very seriously. So, for example, if you were riding on a bus between cities or even in the city, and you passed a Buddhist shrine, the driver would take his hands off the steering wheel, turn toward the shrine, and make a Y. You know, the Y is putting your hands together around your nose and bowing your head a little bit. It's a little bit disconcerting when you first see that. There are a number of things that are a little disconcerting when you first see them. So, if you're in a cab or something, the cab driver, they drive on the other side of the street. They drive on the left. And they turn a little bit, and they leave a little space. The driver kind of makes his body into a little bit of an S shape, so the Buddha can sit next to them on the seat. These are interesting. You need to be sensitive to them. But even beyond I did a fair bit of learning about Thai culture. For example, this Y, the way they greet each other with their hands pointed upward. It's a little hard on the radio to explain it. But mm-hmm. How high up, where the tips of your fingers end up is very depends on who you're greeting. So if you want to be extremely polite, like little children are taught to put the tips of their fingers all the way up to their forehead. But, you know, if you want to kind of insult someone, you do it down kind of in the middle of your chest. So, or just if the other person is less than, is a lot younger than you are or less status. There's a lot, the language is an interesting language because using pronouns in speaking to people, the language you use depends on your relative status, status relative to that person. So, you just need to be open to different ways of doing things. I mean, we had a baby, and the custom there is to kind of never put the baby on the ground, that it stays on someone's hip if it's awake. So we ended up having, didn't mention that with the servants, we had someone another woman servant who just was assigned to the baby. And, you know, she's always on her hip when I didn't have them myself, you know. So, and I said, this baby needs to crawl. Children need to crawl to get the coordination. No, ma'am. No, madame.
Okay. Yeah, we need to move on. You're listening to Travelwitch Radio with Ann Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or check out the Archive Show on Facebook. We're speaking with Iris Mittlin-Lav, author of A Wife in Bangkok. Mary Ellen.
Well, where do you live now, and have you gone back to Thailand for any reason?
We live in Chevy Chase, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C., just a block out past the district border. And we went back once only in, and I cannot actually remember which exact year it was, but it was in the mid-1980s for a visit, and haven't been back since.
Hmm. What advice would you give to Travel Itch Radio listeners who are thinking of traveling to Thailand today?
I think, well, most tourists love Thailand. Everybody who's gone there has always told me it's great. I think it, like going to a lot of countries, it would be good not to just go to the tourist spots, which are tourist spots. But, I mean, it's fine to go see the Royal Bangkok, the Royal Palace, and the reclining Buddha and all those things. But, you know, it would be good to try some small little restaurants. It would be good to try and not, you know, just eat in your hotel. It would be it would be a good idea to try to get out of Bangkok and travel to other parts of the country. A lot of people go to Thailand, want to interact with elephants. And if they do that, which I talk about in the book, nowadays they should go to one of the nonprofit elephant sanctuaries where they don't allow riding the elephants and they don't make them do stupid tricks like painting a picture or playing soccer, but where they have a natural environment and you can watch them and sometimes, you know, interact with them and help them bathe or something. But I think that they're just, it's hard to know the country really well as a tourist, but if you can find a really good guide, that's what I would suggest.
Hmm. Is it safe for a woman to travel alone overseas?
I was in Thailand with my family, but I have traveled overseas by myself for work. Including to Cambodia, much more recently, and usually when I was traveling by myself for work, I'd go a few days early so I could sightsee a little bit, and then eventually I'd meet up with colleagues. But I think it's safe. I mean, you don't want to do anything completely stupid. I wouldn't, you know, but, a woman alone shouldn't go to the red light district or something like that.
Well, you mentioned having a good guide. That's probably a good bet.
Yeah, and nowadays I think you can find, I found in Cambodia, I mean, I didn't really have a guide in Thailand, a nonprofit organization that used some of the proceeds that you paid them to support some education, some schools. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we need to wrap. We have less than 90 seconds. How do Travelitch Radio listeners buy your book?
You can buy it at wherever you buy books. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or you can go to your local independent bookstore. You can find it everywhere.
Thank you, Iris Mittland-Lab, author of A Wife in Bangkok, for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, we'll talk to Ross Thompson, founder of Kovac Global. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.